So it is absolutely my privilege to be here this evening. I absolutely love this church. I love this city. I just love driving here from Franschhoek. My whole world opens up, and it's just the most beautiful city in the world, let's be honest. I mean, Yanni and I have had the privilege of traveling, but really, the city makes us happy. And it's so nice to see all your gorgeous faces. I don't know who I really know here. I know a few of you. So I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Kat. My husband and I, you were already told, our pastor's in Franschhoek. And I won't tell you my whole life story, only to tell you that God has really radically come into our lives, radically transformed our lives. And it's just the most glorious thing to serve him. There's nothing better in the whole wide world. I just tell you this. We've been married for almost 10 years, and we've been waiting for children for about 8 of them. We have walked a long road. We were pregnant about 3.5 years ago, hey? And we miscarried. No, not him, me. Yeah, the royal we. Okay, so, but, you know, I know a lot of you have prayed for us. I mean, I know some of your faces, and I know that you've seen us standing up in front of the church, I mean, at conference and conventions, and you know, I think when you give your life to the Lord, Fred said this to us once when he spoke to us, and he said, you know, you become the message. Your life is the message. It's not what you speak. It's not what you say necessarily. You are the message. And sometimes, I just want to tell you this because I want to encourage you. This is not what I'm actually going to speak about. I just want to encourage you. I really feel like we all need encouragement. We all need to be told that God is truly, truly faithful. He is truly the loving, amazing Father that He says He is. And He is truly the King of glory. He can do anything. And I'm turning 42 this year, and I'm pregnant. And I just want to tell you that it's been a journey of pain and waiting and fear and hope. And there were times when, you know, you can lose hope. It doesn't look like it's coming together. And I remember, I just want to tell you this, I don't know why, but 2 years ago when I was turning 40, in my quiet time, I said, Father, I want a present from you today. I want a promise from you. I want to hear it from your mouth, from your lips. I need the promise. And immediately, I felt in my heart to turn to 1 Samuel. It's a beautiful story. I've read it so many times. But it was for me. That morning, it was a present from my father. And as I started to read the story of Hannah, I started to weep, and I knew that God was making me a promise, a very personal promise. And at that moment, I heard children laughing downstairs. Literally, I heard children laughing. I heard little voices and laughter. And I just, that was my promise, you know what I'm saying? And 2 years went by, thank God, not 28 years, as Abraham and Sarah had to wait 28 years. But I just want to encourage you. If our story does encourage you at all, we knew. There was not, someone asked me today, Kat, did you ever give up? Did you ever not think? No, I didn't. I didn't not think ever, ever, ever. I knew that God wanted us to have children. I knew that this was the desire of my father's heart. But there were definitely times that I was afraid. There was definitely times, even through this time, we've been afraid, and this is the lie from the enemy. He comes to take that joy from us, the promise, the hope that God gives us. Amen. So I just hope that does encourage any of you. It is awesome to be part of the Shofar family. This morning we had the privilege of having, Liana preach at Shofar, at our church in Franschhoek, and I think today that's what's happening all around. I don't know if you know that, but all over the Shofar, it's so exciting, and it's so nice to be part of a family, isn't it? It's so nice to know that we like one, we're together, like we're chummies, you know? It's very nice, and yeah, and also Awaken was amazing. Sorry, I do need some of this water. I don't know, who of you were there? Awesome. So there's fire in this house. I know that a lot of our ladies testified this morning of a new fire. And I just want to encourage you not to allow that fire to fizzle out, but to just infect the rest of the people around you and to testify and to not stop reminding yourselves of what the Lord did in this weekend. Amen. Okay. So yeah, all right. So Yanni and I are Greek. Actually, we're such a complete mixture of nationalities, but predominantly I'm Greek. Born and bred, both parents from Athens, lived there for a lot of my life, and so I do have the upper hand on any of you except if you're Greek, because I you know the Bible in Greek, speak Greek. I'm joking, but being Greek, I love to cook. Has anyone here seen my big fat Greek wedding? Okay, it's like also from the Ark. Okay, I know you guys. That movie came on video, I think. Do you know what that is? Okay. All right, so being Greek, I love recipes. And I think today I have an amazing recipe for all of us. Yeah, it's all these lovely spices and pictures and everything. I do put up references because I don't keep referring to, if there's some quotes I've got here and I won't always remember who's from what. So I have references from Phil Morgan, D.L. Moody, King James, and ESV. All right. My recipe today, okay, well, just first, I want to read you a scripture from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. If you do have your Bibles, your iPhones, your iPads, you'll turn with me, or you can just look at that. Okay, so it says Matthew 11, 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Now, I don't know if any of you know what a yoke is. Okay. Now, in the Bible, when it refers to a yoke, I know that most of you are very well discipled, but in the Bible, when it refers to yoke, it's mostly bondage. Okay. And I know some of you might be from farming communities, but a lot of you are not. So I've actually, can you go to the next slide? I've actually taken the liberty of giving you a picture of a yoke, or two oxen with a yoke. So yokes are still used to tie oxen together, to connect two oxen. But it's actually more specifically used to tie an ox to a burden. Okay, and that's why it talks about the yoke. But in this case, when he talks about yokes, he talks about burdens or bondage or oppression in our lives. Okay, so another scripture, actually the key verse for today, Isaiah 10:27, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Have you ever heard of that phrase, the anointing will break the yoke? Have any of you heard that? Okay, but note what it actually says. It doesn't say that. It actually says, the anointing, the yoke shall be destroyed by the anointing. That's what it actually says. So, you know, when you say something's broken, or if it's something breaks, it falls to the ground, you pick it up, you glue it back together, it's fine. You can use it. Your kettle breaks, you take it, you fix it, new element, it's usable, right? But when it's destroyed, it's gone. And again, this is talking about the oppression in our lives. I really feel like God's wanting to talk to us today about the things in our lives that bind us, the things in our lives that hold us back. We had addiction, depression, fear. I mean, this weekend, we really all dealt with fear. And it's something that the Lord wants to continue to do in our lives. So, yeah, so that's what he's talking about with anointing. But have you ever wondered what this word anointing is? I know a lot of you might know what the word, you've heard it a lot of times, but have you ever really looked into it? Does anyone know the definition of anointing? Okay. I'll tell you. Okay. So anointing literally means to rub on, pour on, smear on, rub into, pour into. That's what anointing means. Okay. It's like anointing oil. The kings used to, before the old times when a king was being anointed, they would literally take the shofar and they would fill it with oil and pour it over the king to anoint him. It's pretty much the anointing of God is God poured on us, smeared on us, filled in us. It's God on flesh. Do you get that? It's God doing what only God can do. That's what the anointing is. And another way to look at it is being set apart. When God sets us apart, we are holy. We are set apart for his use. That's another way of looking at it. Again, those kings that were being anointed, they were being anointed because they were being set apart as men of God, set apart for the use, for God's use. And they did that with the high priest as well. And even with the tabernacle of old, there was nothing, they would never go into the tabernacle without anointing everything. They anointed the furniture, they anointed all the elements, all the objects of worship, and they anointed everything because it was set apart. Do you get that? Do you know what being set apart means? Holy, set apart for the use of God. Amen. This is how we turn the page and on the ark. And if you've heard someone say that Kat preached under the anointing on Sunday night, okay, it's meant that the preach was the sermon was set apart for God. Do you understand? Anointed worship. Do you understand what being set apart is? Okay. I'm Greek again, and anointing oil is very big in the Greek community. Oil is very big in the Greek community. No, really. Olive oil is sacred. I mean, my yaya, which is a grandmother, believed in olive oil. Like it was believed in it. If you had acne, yaya, got pimple, olive oil. If you needed conditioner, olive oil. If you want to fix anything, olive oil. Okay, honestly, like you want to fix the carb, olive oil. And it worked. It really worked. That's the truth. But in Exodus, I want to turn to a scripture, Exodus 30, 22-25. In this scripture, they're talking about an oil, but it's not the kind of oil Maya was talking about. Okay, this is a holy oil. It's a holy anointing oil. And this is the recipe. This is the amazing recipe that I would love for you to take home and work into your lives. I would love for all of us to live by this recipe. You see, this is a recipe that Moses was given, or the priests were given by God himself. And he said, I want you to use this recipe. And it actually was a very sacred recipe. Do you know that it carried, what's it called, where they chop your head off? It's a law, okay? Capital punishment. There was capital punishment attached to this. If you were caught in the marketplace, for example, at the flea market, selling it as aromatherapy, off with your head. So this is holy, okay? And only was it allowed to be used. So let's read it. Okay, so from verse 22, it says, Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Also take for yourselves quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekels of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer, and it shall be holy anointing oil. Okay, so this is the recipe that he was given. Okay, he was given do you guys ever follow recipes? Okay, so in this recipe, we can actually see that there's ingredients and a method, just as recipes. Okay, and it's for us. It's for us to look at and to use in our lives. And I'd like to take it and analyze it a bit, if you will. Okay, so our first ingredient, he says, is myrrh. Okay, now, what I've done is I've just given us, I don't know if you use myrrh in this day and age. I think some of you might have in your bath. I don't know. Anyone use myrrh? Seen myrrh? Bought myrrh recently? No. Okay, so just as reference, I've got some examples of what myrrh is. So myrrh was used it's a sweet-smelling spice. Okay, and it was used to embalm bodies. Okay, yay. So what it is, if you see on the left, myrrh grew from a thorny bush. Okay, and how they actually harvested it was they would cut the bush and it would ooze like a liquid, and it would crystallize and fall to the ground. As it dried, it would drip to the ground and then crystallize. And they would harvest that, and that's what you see on the right. That is how myrrh was bought. Okay, but the interesting factor is that to receive, to extract that sweet-smelling spice or that thing from myrrh, you would literally have to crush it. Okay, so it's bought as a crystal, but you would literally have to put it in a pestle and mortar and smash it, crush it. And that's what this is talking about in this recipe. It's talking about death. Myrrh is referring to death, brokenness. If we want God's anointing, if we want the anointing, we have to die. We have to come to the altar. We have to bring everything that we were, that we think we are, all our identity, all our the dreams that we want or think we want, and we need to bring them to the altar. And that's what the first ingredient is. And I know this might come as a bit of a feeling for you right now, but I want to encourage you, when the crushing things in your life start to happen, when things start to happen to you and you think to yourself, why am I going through this? Why am I, you know? I want to encourage you to embrace what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Sometimes God allows crushing experiences to mold us, to grow us for this anointing, to allow us to die to the flesh that holds us back from receiving his anointing. Okay, so that's the first one. It's being set apart. It's dying to the things. This weekend, I had some family here. Well, not this weekend, sorry, during the week. I had some family, and sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it's very hard to explain to family, especially or friends. I don't know, when you've changed, and they just don't accept the change in you almost, you know. They see you've changed. They're almost like they like, stop acting. Like, you know, stop being so holy. You don't have to act so holy all the time. I'm not your church, you know. And you like look at them, you're like, but this is who I am. I'm not acting. What are you talking about? And it's almost like they want you to be that person you once were. You understand what I'm saying? And to go back. And also they like, you know, you can have some fun sometimes. Like, let your hair down. And I'm like, but that's not fun to me anymore. That's like, that's really boring, really, to be honest. I mean, honestly, Friday night at Awaken beat any party I've ever been to. Really, and I've been to some parties, you know, and it was like, wow, man, that was like, wow. So, like, don't tell me it's like, you know, that to say no to that is being boring or it's not me anymore. Do you understand? It's like not you anymore. You're dead to that. And God wants us to continue just to die to those things that bind us, and you know, being set apart is required. If you want the anointing, it is required. It's not by condemnation or by works or by anything. We're going to get the recipe right here. It's given to us, but it is required. And it's awesome to do it. It's amazing. Who the heck doesn't want the anointing of God? Okay, so that's the first one. So the second ingredient is cinnamon. Okay, and cinnamon spoke of sweetness. It was used in the temple to cover the smell of the animals being sacrificed. And it's actually used again as a herb as well. It brings flavor and sweetness. But in this recipe, I believe it's actually talking of a sweetness of character. Yeah, Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. You know, it's so easy as we walk through life, even as Christians, to allow bitterness and hurt to come into our hearts and to make us bitter. You know, even since Yanni and I have been in the ministry, it's like you've got to guard your heart sometimes, and not sometimes, a lot, from allowing bitterness and hurt to make you hard, to make you lose that gracious sweetness that only the Spirit of God can give you. Know that gentle spirit? That's what he talks about in Galatians, where he speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. gentle spirit. So it's talking about having a sweetness about your life, the way you speak to people, the way you live your life. Okay. It's Galatians 5:22-24 if you want to refer to it at all. Actually, I'm going to read it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus, to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Jesus was a gentle, sweet, I believe, speaking person. I doubt he spoke without sweetness. Okay, the third ingredient is sweet-smelling cane or calamus. Again, a plant I don't think any of us recognize, or it's grown, as you can see, it's like a bit of, it's a cane, so it grows in boggy sort of wet soil. And it was actually used in the old English homes because they used to smell of mold. They used to use it on the ground, and they used to like walk on it, and as they walked on it, it released its scent. Because this is what sweet-smelling cane or calamus represents here in our recipe. It's talking about hard knocks. It talks about those things again that the Lord allows into our lives and uses to form character in us. How many of you know that God is not so keen or looking for people with a lot of ability? Like not the most able-bodied people. He's looking for character. Or if you're willing to allow him to mold your character. And it takes those hard knocks. That's what it takes. When I first I don't even know if I should tell you this. I could edit it out if you want. But anyway, when we first joined the ministry, I worked at the HQ office. And my boss was Franz Esser. His name stands for SS. Sometimes. Franz is, I love him very much now. But man, God used Franz in my life to build character in such large quantities. Because I got there and I used to be a marketing manager, and I thought I was so amazing. I thought I was like so, like, I mean, come on, gifted. Like, you know, do you know where I've been? Do you know? Like, you know, I'm from Joburg, you know. Anyway, I mean, look at the Stellenbosch, you know. Anyway, such an attitude problem. Anyway, but I got there, and Franz just, it like blew my mind. I mean, I was appointed as marketing manager for Shofar, all the churches, and I would be working on strategy and blah, blah, blah. And I arrive, and Franz says to me, here's your office. You're going to place orders all day, admin and orders. And I just looked at him like this. I mean, like, and it just made me insane. Like I'd go and speak in a meeting and say, be quiet. I'd be like, are you kidding? But anyway, every day I wept. And it took 2 years for God to knock me into shape. Knock that attitude right out of my life. I tell you what, I started being I used to just pray every day, quivering. I'm so adminly challenged, you know, really. I'm challenged in administration. And he gave me like heaps of admin to do, and that's all I did all day, no marketing. Like I was being like, ah! And God really used that. I promise you, if he hadn't, I then joined my husband. About a year and a half later. If I had joined my husband, and I still made millions of mistakes when I went into the church, still had attitude. Still was like, paint that wall, uproot that garden, do this, do that, and what, yeah. Still had to get more knocks. But anyway, but my point is that if I'd walked into the church the way I walked into the HQ office, God couldn't have done anything with me. Do you know what I'm saying? I would have just hurt many people. I would have been a disaster. But he took me through that torturous time. I tell you, it was torture. Feel sorry for me. Okay. So, and that's what this ingredient's talking about. Cane, sweet-smelling cane, and it's molding you for anointing. Okay. Fourth ingredient. Can you see how they're all coming together? They're starting to work together. Can you see that? Okay, the fourth ingredient is called cassia. And I'm going to drink some water. And the cassia plant, look how beautiful it is. The cassia plant only grows in very high places. It grows only in elevations above 2,400 meters. So if you want to get to the cassia plant, you've got to put on your hiking boots and you start to climb. Okay, you've got to get up to the top of the mountain. And what it's representing is prayer. Okay. It's an area where I think we all know what it represents. We all know what it means to get up onto that mountain with the Lord when he beckons to us and he says, come up to my mountain. Come up. Come up and be with me. Come up and receive. Come up. I've got things to tell you. We know, but we don't go. We don't go as we should. This is where we go. This is without prayer, there is no anointing. I'm not telling you to be legalistic. I'm not telling you that God can't use you as you are right this very minute. I'm not telling you that. I'm saying if you're hungry for more, as you said, if you want more, then he's giving us the recipe for more. The glory of God. This morning we had the privilege of hearing from the Lord. As I said, Reino and Liana were there and we had word. And the Lord gave us a very specific word. And he said, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming soon. And I have my glory. I want to pour out my glory. That's what he said to us this morning. And I'm telling you guys, it's what he's saying to all of us. But you want to get ready for the glory of God? Do you want the anointing to allow your shadow to heal? This is the recipe. Prayer. Jesus walked in the Spirit all the time. He did. But he was always with the Father. He was always connecting in prayer. He walked with his Father, okay, and that's what we're called to do. We're called to go to the Father in prayer. Look, Jesus went for 40 days. This is something we all take for granted, but he was Jesus. No, but look what he did. For 40 days, he went and prayed and he fasted, okay? He went into the, people think, they read the scripture and they think Jesus went into the desert to be tempted. I mean, really, do you think, when the Lord says to you, go into that place, cheers, guys, I'm going to be tempted by the devil. No, you usually think, I'm going off to pray and fast. And then the devil comes to do his thing, right? Jesus went to pray and fast. Okay. And then look what it says. It says in Luke 4:14. Actually, I'm going to read from 18. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord, this is, okay, so this is after he's come out of the desert, okay, and he's in Galilee. And he's been filled with the power of the Spirit. And it says in 4:18, he says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. It's once he's been there in prayer, in fasting, in seeking God, then he came out with the anointing. Amen. Are you with me, guys? Okay. So don't stop pressing and don't stop. Like just seeking more. All right. And finally, I don't really know how much time I have, so can I keep going? Okay, all the ingredients were mixed together. This is the final ingredient, okay? And guess in what? What do you think they were mixed together in? Olive oil. Not just any oil, olive oil. The Greeks make the best olive oil. Okay, not the Spanish. Okay, so that's all mixed together in this mixture, a mixture of olive oil. And you see, this is where the holiness comes in. This is where the holiness. The Lord combined all of these ingredients in the oil of his Holy Spirit. How many of you know that right through the Bible, the Holy Spirit oil is referred to the Holy Spirit, right? When we use the anointing oil, it's because the Holy Spirit, right? Represents the Holy Spirit. So it was the mixture that was called holy. So, okay, hold on. Yeah, I've only got a few minutes. Okay, so what he does is he takes all the other ingredients, okay, and he mixes it with the anointing oil, the Holy Spirit. And as you know, right through the Bible as well, it's the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, that is mostly linked with anointing. Do you know that? Okay, so that's why it takes the Holy Spirit to bring it all together. I actually want to show you this illustration. Do you think I could have an empty glass? Can I? Thanks. Okay. Someone said I can't ever be quiet. No. So do you understand where I'm coming from? Where it's get to this amazing recipe and how the Holy Spirit brings it together. Okay, we have to wait. All right. Bottom line is, imagine if this glass was empty. Use your imagination. The kitchen's far away. If this glass was empty, okay, it would be filled with air, wouldn't it? Okay, and what would be the best way for me to get the air out of the glass? Okay, thanks. If anything's fine. Yeah, that's great. That's great. We've got a plastic glass. That's like, is that called an oxymoron? Plastic glass. I don't know. Okay, so so we've got this empty plastic thing. Okay, how do I get the air out of here? How would you suggest? Anybody? Any suggestions? How do we get the air out of here? Fastest way. What? Block it? Air's inside. Lots of air. Fire? That, no. You would have to light. No, I don't think so. Scientists? No, fire I don't think would work. Okay? You could suck it out, I think, hey? But then it would cause a vacuum and I think it would crush it. But if I take water and fill it, okay, that's like most of the air's out. There's air bubbles on top, and we all know scientifically not all the air's out of there, but that's the fastest way to get the air out of anything. But what I'm trying to, this illustration is actually by Dale Moody. It's really cool because what he's trying to say is that a lot of us think that we've got to sort our lives out before the anointing. Like we've got to sort out sin by sin, like take out a little bit of sin, a little bit of sin at a time for the anointing to come in. The easiest way, the best way to get the anointing into our lives is by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's why this olive oil that brings it all together is the most important thing, because otherwise we walk around being condemned in our own minds. I must tell you, I deal with this all the time, and it's like that's exactly what I was delivered of this weekend, I believe. It is a lie from the pit of hell. You know, the enemy constantly comes in and he's like, you, anointed. What, like how? You know what I'm saying? It's Christ in us. It's Christ in us. And, you know, the enemy comes to lie and to tell you that you're not worthy of the anointing of God. I know. I know. You know? But he says, he fills me with his Holy Spirit. But we're still called to be set apart, guys. We're still called to live, to die, to surrender, that death representing surrender, to be sweet-smelling. Amen. To allow the crushing. I just want to encourage you tonight because a lot of us, we deal with brokenness, we deal with addiction, we deal with burdens. And you know, like the scripture says, this yoke, he says, take my yoke, it's light. Take my yoke, it's take. Let me take all these burdens from you. Okay, and that's what he's saying here, James 5:14, and I want to close with this because I want to encourage all of you. James is the answer. He says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. If you're sick today in your heart, if you are burdened, if you are defeated, if there are things that you're struggling with, you don't have to. Bible says, let the elders anoint you and give it, bring it to the altar, and you walk away and you don't carry it back with you. Amen. So that's what I have to encourage you with. I hope it was. Would you like? Well, I just want to actually encourage you, if you do have something that you're struggling with, I'd like the elders or the pastors or people to come that do that kind of thing in this church. So I do encourage you, please do come up and receive this prayer and receive the anointing and just walk away free today. And please be encouraged to be set apart. Live set apart lives. Amen.
bring ourselves before God. Amen. We're going to play some worship music now. We're going to just have a time of prayer as well, obviously. But let's just first off close our eyes and bring ourselves before God. And let's just recognize this as a holy moment. And Lord, thank you that you just come and fetch us every time we don't expect it. We must have a burning bush experience like Moses. He's left his dreams. He's left his ambitions. He's left all the things that you've spoken to him in his heart. He's left it 40 years behind him. And then you came in a burning bush and you spoke to him. And Lord, we as a congregation, we as a community, we as a family, we come to pray tonight for every person that is left behind. Just a dream of your kingdom. The dream of knowing you better, the dream of walking with you. I especially pray for every person that has just grown a bit cold in their hearts. It's grown a bit bitter. I pray for every person that is doing all the right things and saying all the right things, but the heart is eluding them. And thank you that tonight is just a time of restoration. It's a time of intimacy. It's a time of coming to you again and just saying, here I am. I've tried to do it on my own. But now I want to be filled with you. And just in connect with the sermon itself, I want to ask as we sing this worship song, if you can come to the front, if you're really convicted tonight, you've been trying to do it on your own, I think. Let's put it that way. You've been trying to do it on your own, and you recognize you can't make it. None of us can make it. And you recognize you really need the help of God. You need to walk with God. You need to walk in God. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to ask as well, if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with God, while everyone else is coming to the front, please come to the front as well. Don't walk out here without a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Without that, nothing else matters. If you're here tonight and you don't have that living relationship with Christ, please come to the front as well and pray. But as we sing this worship song, if the facilitators can come to the front, and then if you'd like some prayer in this regard as well, come to the front. Amen.